Some banks say they're healthier than they seem. Banks and other financial firms are releasing quarterly financial statements this month, and they're making big news. Last week, for example, Wachovia announced a quarterly loss of nearly $24 billion, which helps explain why it's being taken over by Wells Fargo. However, many banks say things are not as bad as the numbers suggest, and they contend that a bookkeeping rule is to blame. The so-called mark-to-market rule is now under review, as NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
Earlier this month, Martin Sullivan sat in a chair before a congressional committee. Sullivan is former president and CEO of the insurance giant AIG. And AIG had just gotten bailed out by the government. Sullivan could have blamed the housing industry, could have blamed risk-taking, could have blamed himself, but he took that moment at the center of the hurricane to talk about something else.
To assist the committee, I would like to focus on one particular factor, the role played by one accounting rule applied to corporations.
The accounting rule is called mark-to-market. When companies file their financial statements, they have to disclose what they own and what those things are worth. The rule that bothers Sullivan requires the company, if, say, it wanted to value a bond, to use the going price, the price they could sell that bond for in the market. The problem, Sullivan said, was that some of the things the company owned, credit default swaps, just were not trading. These are basically insurance policies on bonds. No one really wanted to own one. Who wants to be an insurance provider with a hurricane bearing down? So if you were forced to sell those credit default swaps at that moment, you'd have to sell them really cheap.
Suddenly, a company with $1 trillion of assets was reporting unrealized losses on its income statement that ultimately climbed into the tens of billions. As AIG's reported losses mounted, there was a domino-like series of repercussions.
The Securities and Exchange Commission is now reviewing mark-to-market. Congress ordered the review as part of the financial rescue package. The language in the law makes it clear the SEC has the authority to suspend the rule. Barbara Roper thinks that would be a really bad idea.
It would be a terrible mistake that would make the current crisis worse rather than better.
Roper is director of investor protection at the Consumer Federation of America.
If people don't trust financial statements, and today they do not trust financial statements, they're not willing to invest and they're not willing to lend. And part of the reason banks haven't been lending to each other is they don't know who's the next to fail, and they don't trust the information they're getting on bank balance sheets.
She says the alternative to mark-to-market is mark-to-myth. With all the fuss, you might be surprised to learn that the rule in place right now does not require mark-to-market in all situations. The rule says that if something you own really isn't trading, then you, the bank, can use your own financial computer model to calculate what you think the bond or whatever you own is really worth. The question is when you can do that and when you can't. A lot of banks say that's just a very hard line to draw. Sarah Moore is the chief financial officer of Colonial Bank, based in Alabama.
I think the people that think mark-to-market accounting is the end-all to be-all have never tried to run a financial services company.
Banks have to use their own judgment about when to use mark-to-market. And Moore says when they do use it, it can make for kind of manic, depressive balance sheets. In good times, they look too rosy because the market overvalues things. And in bad times like now, they plunge. Colonial Bank, like a lot of banks, is holding some of those mortgage-backed securities. But she says if they're not planning to sell them, if they're going to hold on to them, maybe until they pay off, why be tied to what the market thinks at the moment?
I have an analogy for you. Say you're a dentist, and you have a building that you're running your dentist office using that building. You have no intent to sell that building. That building is housing your practice. You don't intend to move, but if you had to mark that building based on what you could perceive it for, the financials of your dentist practice would look a lot worse.
Within the last few weeks, two different government agencies issued competing clarifications on the mark-to-market rule. The American Bankers Association liked one and thought the second one actually made things more confusing. So investors who want to know how bad banks' losses really are, we'll have to look at the fine print in these latest financial filings. David Kestenbaum, NPR News.
To get more analysis of the financial crisis and weigh in with your own views, visit NPR's Planet Money blog. It's at npr.org.